I suppose you're thinking, what a title for message. When our circuit breaker trips. Kind of the only thing I could come up with. But God stirred my heart to give this message. And you'll find out a lot about circuit breakers before the message is over. But there's all kinds of books out there written on prayer. In fact, as I Googled, there are a total of 222 prayers in the Bible. There's 176 in the Old Testament and 46 in the New Testament. Now, I don't know why they are three times less. I don't know. But here are Pew Research Center statistics on praying. It says 55% of people pray every day. 23% of those who responded pray weekly or monthly. 21% seldom pray or maybe never pray. The survey also found out, men, 65% of women are more likely to pray than men. Men pray 46%. I'm calling the seniors or an older generation, are 60% more likely to pray daily than younger adults, 40%. Probably because the younger ones are busy, maybe busier. I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to read into that how much comes so much difference. But prayer. Prayer is important in our life. People who pray want to feel that their prayers make a difference, and they're not just praying to be praying. People want to know that God hears our prayers and is paying attention to them. But God says in Psalms 121:4, "He who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber." What comforting words. Our God is awake all the time. We don't have to wake him up. He's there for us. But sometimes, maybe I've felt, and maybe you've had this feeling too, like your prayers maybe aren't getting through to God. That they're just bouncing off the ceiling or the walls and just not going through. Or I can't figure out what the reason is that God doesn't answer my prayers. You think of Job, how he received counseling from his friends and wife. Suggestions why God wasn't answering Job. But we see at the end that Job never lost his faith, that God blessed him many times over. Sometimes people will come up for answers to us like they did with Job. If you had enough faith, your prayers would be answered. That's kind of a tough one, isn't it? You spent enough time on that prayer request. Get on with it. Get on with another. Maybe you aren't praying the right way. You should have seen results by now. If you haven't had an answer in a week, get on with it. God answers no. So when you and others are struggling with an answer from God, don't be too quick to throw water on it. Because again, it's in God's timing. It's not ours. Today's scripture mentions some problems that breaks of communication with God. And so let's look at a few things and try and see what these prayer circuit breakers could be. Before I went into banking, I was a lineman for the city of Brookings. I climbed poles and went in backyards and climbed poles. Worked with lines, worked with power, worked with circuit breakers. But on power lines and substations, it's different than from the home. There's a lot more power there. I mean, you could put your arm up close to the wire like that, and the hair will start standing up on your arm. You know there's power there. We had circuit breakers in our power lines to keep the power flowing, which it does. But it was also there to, in case of trouble, in case of a problem, case of a windstorm, blew down that section, that it would kick that breaker out so the power didn't keep flowing. Or maybe a squirrel climbing up in there and getting around the transformer and breaking the breaker, tripping the switch. But just as power lines have breakers, I believe there are prayer circuit breakers in our lives that can be tripped, that can be interrupted, that can hinder our relationship with God. So when prayer is not working, sometimes some of our breakers are tripped. And it's only God who can reset that. So let's turn to Mark 11, and I'll read 22 through 26. Mark 11, 22 through 26, or shall we stand? Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea,' and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins." Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of sharing your word today. Your word is true. Lord, it has changed lives. It changed mine. So God, would your spirit work amongst us today? Thank you, God, for this privilege that we can come into your house of worship and worship you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One thing is said about in a commentary about those verses, these words of Jesus do not mean we can automatically obtain anything we want if we just think positively. Prayer is not some sort of cosmic blank check from God to us. Jesus meant that anything is possible with faith because nothing is impossible with God. To pray a mountain into the sea has nothing to do with God's will. But Jesus used that picture to say that it is possible for God to do the impossible. God answers prayer, but not as a result of possible positive mental attitude on our part. To be in a position for God to answer our prayers, we must be believers. Secondly, we must not or hold grudge against another. And thirdly, we must not pray with selfish motives. So I find several things that may interrupt or stop even our prayer circuit with God. And these things can be corrected with God's help. First of all, I believe our prayer circuit breakers can be tripped with a disregard for God's law. A disregard for God's law. Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable or hateful to God. Back in Ezekiel, an example of that, as I share that with you today, about 500 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Zechariah recorded these words from God to them. But they refused to pay attention. These were the Babylonians. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and they stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. God gets angry too, don't he? When I called, they said they did not listen. And so when they called to me, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. And the land was left so desolate behind them that no one could come or go. This is how they made the pleasant land so desolate. God does get angry, but God is good. God loves us. He wants all of us to come to the knowledge of him by obeying, by following his law. Those laws, the commandments are good for us. Just think if we followed, just think if we could follow all of them. We wouldn't need a police force. We wouldn't need riot gear. We would, you know, we wouldn't need warnings for burglars or whatever. God is so good, and his commands are good for us. Rejecting or ignoring God's law is one prayer circuit breaker that can cause our prayers to be hindered. The scripture is so applicable to us today. We need to check where we are at rejecting God's law in our daily lifestyle. So many Christians are living no different than the world. God says, come out of the world. Don't be in the world, come out of the world. 1 John 1:5-6. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness or walk in sin, we lie and do not live by the truth or the law. In chapter 2:6, it says, whoever claims to live in Jesus must walk as he did. Jesus is our example in our walk. I pray that he's your example from the time you put feet on the floor in the morning getting out of bed till you go to bed. That Jesus is your example. Your walk, the Christian walk, or the Christian's life, is a window through which others can see Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Haven't others seen Christ in your lives? Have you touched someone else in your walk or your talk? We don't know. Some we do, some we don't. Do you keep your windows washed so that others may see the glory of God within your life? Just as Babylonians and the Israelites rejected God's law, our rejecting them today, it leaves a pretty bad taste in God's mouth. In verse 22, it says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. Trust him, disciples. Believe in him. Pray in faith. Follow him. Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. of God's law needs to be in our lives. Disregarding God's law, you can bet, is a circuit breaker tripped in your life. Secondly, a prideful heart, another circuit breaker. In verse 18, it shows that the chief priests and the teachers were prideful of what they had done, but they didn't want the people to follow Christ. They started following Christ, they started losing their positions, they started losing their monetary income, they started losing their pride that they were the ones to come to. And yet, we can too. Oh, I'm such a great Christian. I did this for someone the other day. I hope everybody saw what I did. I did this for a neighbor. I give very generously. I tithe to the church. I try to tithe to many things. My prayers are outstanding. I should be a Billy Graham. I'm so righteous in my own eyes. But all these don't mix very well with prayer. It's a prayer of a humble heart that God listens to. That wasn't the heart of the chief priests. Prayers were about themselves. Christ was telling his disciples, have no doubt in your heart, but believe in me. Don't believe in them. So a prideful heart is another circuit breaker. Thirdly, a wrong motive is another circuit breaker. Jesus had just cleared all the money changers out of the temple. What did he say? My house shall be a house of prayer. Is our house a place of prayer? Are we really praying for the call committee? Are we praying for a pastor? Or we just give up, let someone else do it? James 4, 1 through 3, Paul talks about the prayer when he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. What's the motive in your prayer? Is it for self? Is it for your good, for your righteousness, that you look at yourself and think you are so righteous? That my will be done? Right, Bob? We've had a few conversations about that, haven't we? I want my will to be done, not God's. That's quite a circuit breaker. Maybe we need to pray more for our needs than our wants. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, you cannot serve both God, money. God is not condemning wealth. But isn't it true today how money seems to really, or our possessions, get a hold of us? Oh, we can't live without it. I don't have enough. I've got a little story for you on that. It's a strange thing that some people can never have enough of the world, but no matter how little of the Lord they have, they seem to feel it's enough. When I was a lad, an old gentleman took some trouble to teach me a little knowledge of the world. With this in view, I remember he once asked me, when is a man rich enough? I replied, when he has $1 million? He said, no. 2 million? He said, no. 10 million? He said, no. $100 million, which I thought would settle the whole question. The older man still continued to say no. So I gave up and I confessed. I could not tell and asked him to tell me. He gravely said, when he has a little more than all, when he has a little more than he already has, and that is never. Don't we always want a little bit more? A little bit more. I don't know if I'm sure if I'm going to make it. I need a little bit more. Fourthly, another circuit breaker. Broken relationships. Verse 25 says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Paul wrote in the early church community saying in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I think this goes both ways. Paul was not only talks about the anger and the bickering and the fault-finding between husbands and wives, but in our relationships with each other. Maybe it's within our church body. These will be prayer circuit breakers. They're going to break our communication with God. Jesus tells his disciples in 25, if you hold anything against anybody, and I looked that up in the commentary too, this forgiveness that needs to take place, and this forgiveness is at once, not a later time, but ASAP, as soon as possible. You know, that anger or bitterness can be, just an example, cancer. It's going to eat away at that marriage, eat away at that marriage, and pretty soon you don't have anything anymore. You aren't talking. You're holding grudges. You're condemning, bickering. Broken relationships. And this holding, this grudge or anger against someone, how do you pray the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. So how, what's the meaning of that? Is it meaningful to you that we do forgive others? How about resetting that circuit breaker in your marriage, that broken relationship, so that your prayers can start flowing again down the power line, that they can start seeking forgiveness, that you can build on that relationship only with Jesus Christ? In closing, these are just five prayer circuit breakers, and I'm sure there's more that I could preach on, that affect our prayers, that affect our relationship with God. What kind of prayers have you been praying lately? You go into your prayer closet as the older lady in the war room. Many people see the war room. I hope you did. What a Christian movie. For relationships. For the power of prayer. For the need for prayer. For the need of mentorship in our lives. Coming to another Christian and asking for wisdom. Ask him for prayer. Don't be so humble. Don't be so prideful that you can't go to someone. I relate that war room, coming back to electricity again, as a dam. As long as the water keeps coming, it turns the turbines and creates power to the power lines and to us. But if the water stops, so does the current and electricity, and we're sitting in the dark. That is why it's so important to uphold God's law. It's a love for the law. It's not a have to. It's not he isn't standing over you with a hammer. It's because we loved him, because he first loved us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do not be prideful. Pray with the right motives. Mend those marriage relationships. Seek his forgiveness and seek others and a willingness to forgive others, to keep that power flowing between you and God. As Lynn and I were on our way here, I asked her, do you think each one of those students in Harrisburg School and the Rosenberg College were thinking that they were going to face death that day? Possibly in Harrisburg, could have, we don't know. Possibly could have if those other guys hadn't tackled him. We know that 9 students, for their faith, Stacy Boyle, who is a parent of a wounded student, told CNN that the killer asked the students, "Are you a Christian?" She said that he then asked the ones who identified themselves to stand and said, "Good, because you're a Christian. You are going to see God in just about 1 second." So I'm asking you today. You've been thinking hard and fast on your life, how fast your life can end, an auto accident, heart attack, 16-year-old boy hit by a semi down at Sioux Falls while walking, 22-year-old farmer died after becoming trapped in a grain bin just lately. Dakota Wesleyan student died from a virus, and the list goes on. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Now is the time. I'm asking you, how is your heart? How is your soul? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so if you were to drive out of here and get hit, that you would be with him in heaven? He promises that. He promised that to the thief on the cross, "For today you shall be with me in heaven." To be present with the Lord is to be absent from the body. And the verses could go on. We also have communion today. I pray that we'll be reminded of David's confession as he prays in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of salvation. What a promise. But how's your circuits? How's your panel of breakers? Are they tripped? Are they showing red? Are they showing green? God is here today. He wants you, if you haven't already. He loves you. He wants all to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I look upon all of you. God knows your hearts. I don't, but He does. Ask Him, for the day is coming. Let's keep the capital day. Christ is coming again. Only God knows the time. Why wait? Why do we wait? Now is the time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today. Oh God, we never want to lose communication with you. God, help us to keep that clear. Help us to always feel your presence in our lives. God, you never run from us, but it's us who seem like we run from you. When the getting gets tough, we start throwing the blame. It's God's fault. God did this. God did that. I don't want him anymore. But let me assure you that God has strong shoulders and strong arms. And just as I said when the children come up here, let the little children come on to me. We are children of God. God loves us. God wants us. But Lord, it's up to us. What do we want to do with Jesus? Thank you, Lord, for your presence here again today. I pray through the communion service, Lord, that we might give of our hearts. Maybe there needs to be some forgiveness. Maybe there's some anger out there that needs to be relieved. You can do that, Lord, if they just call out to you. So bless this time. In thy name we pray. Amen.